Great to be here. Thank you for allowing me to come and join you this morning and to share in your family worship time. Tom said he hoped to have me on my feet by 11 o'clock. He broke his word because it's 2 minutes past, but anyway, it's close. But it's good to be here and to share with you this morning. And Emily's been leading us thinking about what's on the inside, and she emailed that to me earlier in the week. And in her note to me, she wrote this, that the theme of her part of the service with the children was going to be to look at what it means to really love and believe in Jesus. And that got me thinking a bit, because my mind, before I knew this, was in a passage in the Old Testament. But that didn't fit with that kind of theme. And I thought, well, I need to think about this a little bit. And it wasn't long before God kind of put some passages of God's word into my mind. And so I want to take up that theme by looking at a couple of things in the New Testament. One is a parable of Jesus, and one is a real life incident in the life of Jesus. And both take place as Jesus is making his way up to Jerusalem and consequently to Calvary, and he's on his way to the cross. And we'll look at them in the chronologically, the way they are described in Scripture. And if you've got your Bibles, you might like to find Luke chapter 18. They're going to be on the screen, I think. I'm hoping. Just one to begin with, obviously, David. It's Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. Just wait for it to go up on the screen, because it'll be easier. There you go. Okay. So, let me read this to you. So this is a story that Jesus is telling to the people around him. And he says this: to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two women went up to the temple to pray. So, two women? Where did I get women from? Two men? That's interesting, isn't it? I wonder what happened to my brain then when I put W-O in front of men. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And it led me to ask myself, and thus ask you this morning, the question, how is your heart today? And I don't mean by that, of course, the organ that pumps blood around your body, important though it is that that is well. I'm speaking about the very heart of who we are, the mainspring of who we are as human beings, the essence of who we are, that tells about our relationship with God and as a consequence tells of our relationship, good or otherwise, with others. I was reminded, I'm often reminded of this verse when I'm preaching because it speaks to my heart very much. And it says, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Or some versions have, "It's the wellspring of life." And of course, the heart, again, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's not speaking about the organ that pumps blood around our body. It's talking about the very depth, the innermost part of our being, who we are. Guard it, keep it, because that's the center of who we are, which of course is what Emily has been thinking about earlier with the children as well. And of course, if we think about the Pharisees, if we know anything about them, anything at all about the Pharisees, this religious sect, God-fearing men and women, people who believed that this book, as they had it then, the Old Testament, the Torah, and so on, was the book that they needed to live by, they were important people in their society. They were good people, upright people, trustworthy people, and they held on to the scriptures. It was really important for them. They were the ones who said, this book matters. This is God's word to us. God speaks to us through the book, through the word. And they tried to keep the people of Israel, on the straight and narrow as a result of making sure they wanted to keep them knowing and believing in the word that God had given to them. But they invented so many rules that it became impossible. I'm currently listening, it's a new thing I'm doing this year, I'm listening to the Bible, not done it before, reading the Bible in a year, but listening to it, and it's very interesting. I have noticed far more listening to it, to some elements of it, than I had when I was simply reading it. And I think that's because I've just finished going through Deuteronomy, and I'm about, and in fact Numbers today was the last bit of Numbers, and then I'm going to go into Leviticus, because it's chronological, and that's pretty much how the Bible has it at the beginning as well. But actually there's quite a few bits in Deuteronomy and Numbers and Leviticus. If you've ever read them, you skim read, because it's repetitive, and because it's numbers of people in the different tribes, and law upon law upon law. And I have to confess that as I have listened to it and thought about it, I thought, how on earth did the people of Israel remember to keep all these laws? It's been a recurring theme in my mind as I've listened to scripture being read. And then the Pharisees added laws on top of laws. And then they added laws on top of laws on top of laws. And so although they were important people and in many ways very well respected, they had made the burden of the people of Israel almost intolerable to bear. And to be honest with you, as I read these descriptions and think about the important, good, upright, trustworthy people that the Pharisees seemed to be, it speaks to my heart, and maybe to yours as well, as to how easy it is to be a person who thinks they have all the truth about God, and so I can be quite pharisaical in my attitude. I've got it right. Do you ever think that? You wouldn't say it, would you? You wouldn't ever say it. You wouldn't say, I've got it all right. Of course not. We're humble enough to suggest, at least to somebody else, that we might not have it all right. But in my head, I think, yeah, I've got that sorted. And actually, it's a hard attitude. It's difficult to live with and be in connection with. And we need to be people who recognize that we're not to be pharisaical. It's interesting, isn't it, what he says. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. There's a very real sneer in his voice in the story that Jesus tells. In fact, I'm not like that, but the things I do, I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. I do all the right things, God, says this Pharisee in the story that Jesus tells. Proud and conceited and arrogant and unkind and uncharitable and thoughtless. The picture I have in my head, at least, and I don't know whether it's true or not, the picture I have in my head in this story that Jesus tells is that the Pharisee stands somewhere where everybody can see him in the temple. And he says these things in a voice that's loud enough to carry. And I know it's only a story, it's not real in that sense, but that's the impression you get of this Pharisee that Jesus is describing. He wanted everybody to know that he was not like the tax collector, that he was anything but like the tax collector. And I wonder if that rings any bells for you too. It's too easy. And again, I make my confession before you. You know what they say, when you point one finger, you get three coming back at you? Well, it feels like that sometimes when I'm preaching. And I recognize that I can often think, well, I'm better than him, or I'm better than her. I've got a different I've got a better attitude about this than they have. I'm not like that tax collector over there. I'm not like this person at the back. I'm not like this person at the front. I'm better than them. And it's so easy for that to develop in our hearts and in our minds. And we need to be aware of it. At least I certainly do. And ask God to help me not to be like that, but to be rather more humble, just as the tax collector was. Because by contrast, Jesus says that the tax collector simply said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Beat his breast, in fact, scripture tells us. He was humble to the point where he was saying, I don't deserve anything. Just have mercy on me, a sinner. Precise opposite of the tax collector, of the Pharisee in this parable that Jesus tells. Both were revealing their innermost being. Both were revealing their heart before God. But the extraordinary thing is, so you have the Pharisee on one hand, proud, conceited, arrogant, but apparently well thought about by the people. And the tax collector, who was humble and recognized his sinfulness before God, but as far as the people were concerned, was almost the lowest of the low, because tax collectors weren't much liked in those days. I'm not sure they're liked a lot today, but they were liked not a lot at all in those days. They took the money and kept some of it for themselves, and everybody knew that. So Jesus, when he says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified by before God, is making a staggering statement. And the people that would have been listening would have been astonished, in my view, to have even thought that that might be the case. Can you imagine their reaction? Did Jesus really say that? I know it's only a story, Jesus, but are you really saying that this despised tax collector that none of us like, let alone love, he goes home justified before God? Not the Pharisee, who we all thought was a great man. God's kingdom is something of an upside-down kingdom, because what Jesus goes on to say is all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. God is looking for people who are humble on the inside as well as on the outside. Thomas Manton once wrote, pride is the cause of all other sins. Other sins are against God's law, but pride is against God's sovereignty. It says, I know best, God, not you. That's what pride does. And that's a very difficult thing to handle in our lives. And you know, what's on the inside is always, sorry, what's on the outside is a reflection of what's on the inside. So our words, our deeds, whatever we think about, whatever we say, they are a reflection of who we really are. We can hide it sometimes. I can hide it sometimes. But actually, we ought to be people, which is what Emily was encouraging us about earlier, to be a people who reflect what we believe. If we are Christian people who love Jesus, then that ought to be reflected in who we are. People should see something of the difference that Jesus makes in us. And that takes me into the next passage of Scripture, if you want to put that one up, David, which is in Luke chapter 21. This one's even shorter than the first one. There you go, thank you. So, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Again, Jesus would have been saying these things, and the people would have been listening in astonishment. She only put in two copper coins. How come? What do you mean, Jesus? She put in more than the man who's just put in a whole wad of money. Well, it's clear, isn't it? when he then says, all these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. I think it's a quite beautiful story, and I don't know how you picture it in your mind. It's almost a heart-rending story for me, because this widow put in, according to the scripture, everything she had to live on. There was nothing left after that. There were no social services in those days. There were no pensions that she could go back and top up. Jesus says she put in all she had to live on. And Jesus had just been speaking to his disciples in the verses earlier in chapter 20, in the same way about the Pharisees earlier. He's saying, warning against the teachers of the law. He says, verse 46, beware the teachers of the law. They love to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. These are the people that devour widows, he says. They devour, they take everything. And then the very same people, the rich, come and put their money in. And he's not despising the rich. Please don't misunderstand Jesus or me when I speak about this. He never condemned those who are rich. Scripture does not condemn those who are rich. It tells us that we should have a right attitude towards what we have. But it doesn't condemn being rich in and of itself. But he wants to use the situation to draw a picture of the hearts of those who gave. The rich had lots of money, put in a little bit. The poor widow put in all she had, according to Jesus. And it reminds me of an entirely fictional story of a pig and a chicken talking to each other, saying, I think we should, and the chicken says, I think we should provide breakfast for our master tomorrow. You know, egg and bacon, that would be nice, wouldn't it? And the pig says, it's all right for you to say that, I've got to lose my life. The chicken just gave an egg. The pig had to give up its life. It's an irreverent story and a slightly crude illustration, but I hope you get the gist of what Jesus is getting at here. This person gave everything to her God. For the rich, it was simply a part of what they possessed, but for the widow, it was everything she had. They probably didn't miss it at all. I don't know, but they probably didn't. Tom Wright gives a little illustration of a balloon, or two balloons to be precise, a small balloon and a large balloon. He says, when you blow up a small balloon and then you let out the air, it goes completely flat. Blow up a large balloon, let out the same amount of air that was in the small balloon, and you hardly notice the difference. And that's kind of how it is sometimes, isn't it, with what we give. We might, I don't know what our giving pattern is, not for me to know in the slightest, but does it actually cost us anything at all? Because again, what we do, what we give, is a reflection of who we are, what's on the inside. And what happens as a result of what's on the inside ought to be reflected in the things that we say and the things that we do. To really love and believe in Jesus, as Emily wrote to me, to really love and believe in Jesus, we ought to be a people who reflect him, who share him, who tell others about him, who live lives that please him, honor him, and bring him glory. And that, no doubt, is what deep down we all want. The question is it what we actually do? So, what are we going to be like the rest of today and tomorrow morning when Monday rolls along and we have to get out of bed and go to work or whatever we do in our day? Are we going to be determined to reflect Jesus, to show that we really believe and love Jesus Are we going to be a people who do not merely listen to the word, as James says, but do what it says? May God help us to be increasingly a people who reflect on the outside what we're like on the inside, and what we're like on the inside might increasingly be something of Jesus. Let me pray, and then we're going to sing a final hymn together. I know not why God's wondrous grace, but let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this free access that we have into your presence because of all that Jesus has done for us. Thank you that we can talk to you and you listen to us. It's amazing to think that the God of the whole universe, the creator, the sustainer of all things, the majestic, glorious, mighty one, is one that we can speak to and know that you hear us. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to, having heard your word this morning, allow it to speak into our hearts afresh. The story that Jesus told and the real-life example that Jesus witnessed might be something that speaks into our hearts, that we might, on the outside, reflect the person that we are on the inside. And that the person we are on the inside might increasingly be that of Jesus in us, working through us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. Day by day, we are conscious of the blessings that you pour into our lives, of health and wealth and food, of family, of friends, of employment. So many good things that you give us day by day. We bring you grateful thanks and pray that you will help us to live more and more like Jesus. For his glory we pray. Amen. So we'll stand to sing this lovely hymn, I know not why God's wondrous grace.